You may be seated. We are on the working of miracles tonight. And what we have seen in the power gifts, which are three, the gift of faith and the working of miracles, we did a comparison because these two gifts seem to be linked together. The end result always looks miraculous. But we know that the gift of faith works by receiving a miracle. Whereas the working of miracles, which is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, works by doing or performing a miracle. There's a doing or performing aspect. And we concluded the last week on the gift of faith that each gift has its own specialty. And we saw that the gift of faith, its operation, relies a lot on the power of the spoken word. And it's not just a normal confession of the word or positive confession or just mouthing God's word in our mouth. It's like an atmosphere that comes onto us in a time when the gift drops on us. It's almost like an atmospheric change. And that the speaking out of God's word is as if we are the instruments of God and we literally are the mouthpiece of God commanding it into the spirit realm. And that one split second, that word that comes forth from us is as powerful, quote unquote, as if God himself was speaking those words. That's what the gift of faith is like. And the reason we dwell on the area is so that we could be aware whenever that comes into our lives. I believe that it comes more often than we realize when Christians gather together, when Christians worship together, or when Christians come together for a major convention, or sometimes an intercessor deep in the prayer realm reaches a dimension where this atmosphere comes upon the intercessor, and what they pray can affect whole cities. In the same way like Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah, if he had found at least 10 righteous, the whole two cities would have been saved. And it's a very powerful dimension to move into in the gift of faith. More or less, it's the receiving of a miracle. And to go deeper into that, as we look at the working of miracles, we need to make a few more differentiations. We realize that the gift of faith, in bringing the answer that we need, it's miraculous, but it may not involve any molecular or atomic change on nature. The way things happen is miraculous, and it's more involved in tremendous changes in the spirit world. And we have mentioned that when a person is raised from the dead, it takes three gifts of the Spirit to work together. It takes the gifts of healing to heal the person of whatever sickness the person died of. Otherwise, if the person come back, he still has the same sickness, he will die again. Immediately, instantly. So obviously, the gifts of healing has to work to restore the body. And it takes the working of miracles to re-energize all the body and create tissues where tissues have been decayed. And there's a creative force involved. So the working of miracles is involved. And it takes a gift of faith to call back a person's spirit into the body. And that's why raising from the dead is not as often seen, because it takes three of the gifts of the Spirit to operate for that one performance of what we see as a single miracle, resurrection from the dead. Whereas when a gift works by itself, it's more often. And when they group together and work, then their occurrence tend to be less common. And sometimes when you read the Bible, of course Jesus, he has miracles all the time. And the one question that we always have, why aren't there more miracles today? Some of us probably seen miracles in there, and we have too in our ministries in there. Why not more miracles? And why not here today? And every day. Bear in mind that Jesus lived 33 years, and in his first 30 years, he never saw a single miracle. When a miracle started in 3 years, he did more than he could have ever done in 33 years. There's something to be said to that. Plus, when you read about what happened in the book of Acts in the disciples' life, it does seem like every day they receive they see fantastic miracle. Look at it carefully, and you find that the miracles are involved usually when they're on an evangelistic campaign, when they're down the road, or a special move of God. In between that time, they wrestle with things that you and I have to wrestle with. Paul has to wrestle with Trophimus' sickness, Timothy's weak stomach, and his own weaknesses in the flesh, that he found his bodily weaknesses because of the persecutions and stonings he received. And how one time he left Epaphroditus sick in one place. And why didn't the same God who healed miraculously in Acts 19 through the handkerchief that Paul have heal Epaphroditus? So there's a whole realm to the healing question. What we do know is that the gifts of the Spirit work as the Spirit will. We cannot force it to happen. We are only the servants, the creation of God, and God remains the Creator. However, we can live our life yielded to God. And I believe what happens is miracles and evangelistic demonstrations and revivals come in waves. And during the waves, miracles happen easily. And you got to flow with the waves. It's just like if right now, anyone of you were to go down to Lake Ginninderra or Lake Billy Griffin and take your surfboard along and you want to do... is that surfing, right? Surfing? Windsurfing? You can't. I mean, there's not enough waves. You got to go somewhere else where the waves are bigger. And revival is like that. When the waves come, you flow with it. And why is that so? Even in the Old Testament, they have this pattern. That you see how tremendously God's miracle work when they came out from Egypt. And they have fresh manna every day. But even those miracles became so common to them, they complained about eating manna. None of us ever tasted manna. They complain about you when they have it every morning. Oh, love it every morning. Right? You don't have to think about cooking. You don't have to think about food. You just go out and collect them. Every day, you know, the housewives say, praise the Lord. And yet they got tired of it. And the Bible did say that the moment they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan in Joshua's time, the manna ceased. Because God wanted them now to get back into the normal thing. It was apparently a temporary measure. In the time being while they're traveling. Sadly, it lasted 40 years. It was supposed to have lasted 1 year. That's all they need. If they obey God, they've gone to the promised land. So God did extend the miracle to 40 years to cover that period. But the moment they entered the promised land, ate of the fruit there, the manna ceased. And you could go in the morning and there's no more. You look up, God, where's the manna? God says, go and pluck it yourself out in the field. This normal fruit. And now they got the harvest, they got the plant, they got the tent. And that's the hard work part. And the same way you see the glory of God demonstrated in the tabernacle of Moses and in the temple. When they first dedicated it, zoom, the glory of God covered everything. And it says that even Moses in Exodus 40 couldn't get in. That's how great the glory of God was. Solomon's temple, when he first dedicated the temple, as the musicians sang and were as one in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, zoom, the cloud filled and nobody could enter the temple. Now, that should not remain permanently, you know why? Because if that is so, they have no chance to offer the sacrifices. So those are demonstrations of God saying, I love you. Saying to the world, I love you. I'm still here. And God saying, you know, here are the showers of blessing. Here are the times of refreshing. But between that time is where He wants us to walk by faith and keep faithful in obedience. Because it takes as much love for God to walk in between the waves as it is to walk during the waves. And even if you actually go surfing, I don't, but I like to watch people do it because I know there's a law involved. And you don't just go to the waves, you got to swim there. It's hard work, isn't it? Getting to the waves. And once you hit the right waves, in the right place, at the right time, in the right balance, you ride the waves. But when you finish riding that wave, of course you try to ride from one wave to another, the waves will end eventually because you get nearer and nearer the shore. And then you start all over again, you swim to the next wave. So there's a time when you got to swim in between the waves. You got to learn swimming, you got to be hardworking. Otherwise, we don't have a chance to practice the Christian life. Jesus practiced his Christian life for 30 years before he saw a miracle. And always remember that. However, if we are faithful to God and we love God with all our heart, minds and soul, God cannot help but bring a wave of revival. Amen. And especially when we pray to Him for revival, especially when we obey His word in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 and continue to humble ourselves and cry where there's a need of revival and we need it and we continue to cry faithfully to God and live our life faithfully, it has no choice but to come. So we learn to ride between the waves, we learn to walk in between. So miracles do happen. And in between that time, what do? We exercise faith in God's word. We lay hands on the sick and believe God for the healing. And even if it takes time, we believe God. Because it takes as much Christian love and faith to believe in a time when there are no waves as to believe when there are waves. But the law to work both are different. And that is why it's not easy for a ministry to flow between the evangelistic anointing with signs and wonders and the normal prayer for the sick. It takes two different understandings and two different laws operating. And we need to understand them. When we look at the working of miracles, it operates a different law altogether. As we say, we compare it to the gift of faith. These work as the Spirit will. And you can't manufacture them, but when the Spirit will, and this is a strange thing, when He wills, unless we are willing, it doesn't come forth. Isn't that strange? And that's the part that causes times of reflection and maybe repentance. Because who knows, there are times He wants to work and we were not ready. Times when He is flowing forth and we are not discerning that He is coming forth and it doesn't spring forth. And we need to learn how to flow with the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. He will never force His gift on us. And even when we operate His gifts, we are perfectly 100% under full volition control. We could stop at any time. We don't lose our free will. It's not like demon possession. Spirit feeling is not like demon possession. When a person is possessed by demon and you cast the demons out, many times the person doesn't even remember what happened. They could be wriggling on the floor, screaming all kinds of demonic things and blasphemies against God. When the demon has come out, the person doesn't remember a thing. Because the demon have violated their free will. Before that, of course, the demon gain entrance and then the demon takes possession of them and completely manifests. The Holy Spirit is not that way. He's a perfect gentleman. And we need to understand how to flow with the Spirit. And that is why in the Christian life, you have principles like do not grieve the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. That in itself, those two statements in itself implies that there's a need to cooperate with Him. Not to quench Him, not to grieve Him. So in the gift of faith, it works in the spirit world all the time. And in the working of miracles, it works in the natural world, doing signs and wonders. It performs miracles, and it seems to defy almost natural laws. Although we know there's a higher law working. And the creative miracles are all classified into the working of miracles. In fact, the very definition of the word, the working of miracles comes from the Greek word energes dunamis. Working is from the word energes, where we get the Greek word energes, where we get the English word energy. And miracles comes from the Greek word dunamis, which is the same dunamis power, which is translated power in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And dunamis power is a different realm of power from exousia power. There are different words for power. There are four Greek words for power. One is the Greek word exousia. And in a sense, we get a derivative of the English word executive. And it's the power that comes through position. A policeman doesn't really have the power or natural strength to stop a truck. But a policeman has the authority to stop the truck. By lifting up his hands because of his uniform and his badge, he can stop a truck. So we say he can stop a truck. We don't mean that he has the physical power to stop the truck. We mean he has the exousia or the authority, executive power to stop the truck. And so it's a power that is derived from position. And there is the word iskus, which is a power that is tied up to prayer. There is some sort of energy release when people pray together. And I'm just giving definitions. When you do a deep study of these words, you find the relationship there. Iskus is found. Iskus, which is a noun, and iskuo, which is the verb, can be found in James 5 when they were praying. When it says that if any man is sick or ever pray, and the prayers of a righteous man avail much. And it's tied up to prayer. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3, there is a chapter 3 especially, there's a play on all the four Greek words on power. He uses all the four Greek words on power, and we have done that in one study before. And then there's the Greek word kratos. And that word found in the book of Acts several times, Acts 19 has it, where the word of God grew and prevail mightily. Prevail. So kratos is like a prevailing power. And it's tied up to the power that's inherent in the word of God. In the word of God. And but the power that we're talking about in the working of miracles is the main one, which is the word dunamis, which is found in Acts 1 verse 8, when the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And dunamis is where we get the word dynamite. And it's a word related to the power of the Spirit. And this is the dunamis. If I can illustrate in a sense with my stickman illustration, right? Not so good at drawing, not good at drawing stickman. And exousia is like the power that depends on where the person spiritually is standing. Right? So I draw exousia here with a capital E near the person's feet. And so if spiritually your position spiritually is standing higher, you would be able to exercise a higher spiritual dimension. And we, although we are seated at the right hand of God, in position, in heavenly places, with Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2, yet we learn how to grow in the exousia authority, the rights of our inheritance in Christ, the rights of who we are. We are sons and daughters of God. And when a person is born again, they have exousia authority by virtue of their birth. And they are standing on the right ground. Having been justified by faith, you now stand in the presence of God. Have all the rights of a child of God to approach God. Exousia authority. Iskus authority, I would assume to be tied to the authority that is inherent in the yielding of the soul to the Spirit. So I'll draw it as if it's part of the person's chest, right? It comes from a person, and a person's soul is yielded to God. There's a dimension of power that flows forth. Kratos power, which is tied to the prevailing power of the word, seems to be tied to iskus, but it comes according to the measure. I draw little Bibles, right, inside the person. Okay, let me make the person a bit bigger. Okay, draw little Bibles. These little Bibles inside the little stick man who has now grown bigger now, and he's put on some weight. And this figure, the stick man, has little Bibles in him. Now, these little Bibles represent how much scripture has become a part of that person. If you read the book of Proverbs, especially the first few chapters, you find how it talks about the word of God becoming flesh unto us. In fact, that was the title given to Jesus, and he was called the Word made flesh. 100% of the Word. And for us, we need to understand how whenever you read the Word, which is what we are talking about on Sunday, that the Word is to be handled with our spirit. And a Bible study, we are trying to educate the soul to the things of the spirit. But your devotional time is letting the Word speak for itself. So even though you don't analyze the Word, by the mere reading aloud of the Word, something has taken place. See, there's a total respect for what the Word is and allowing the Word to come into our lives. So drawing these little Bibles in this person, that's like the Kratos power building upon the person. The more you have it, the more it increases. Dunamis is like the whole atmosphere around the person. It completely surrounds the stick man figure. It's a whole atmosphere. And dunamis uses words and adjectives like when the Spirit has come upon you. Doesn't just talk about within. Of course, we know it works from within, but it seems to talk in figures like upon you. Luke 24 verse 49, when you have received power from on high, when your cloth, C-L-O-T-H-E, that's a Greek word, cloth, with power from on high. So it seems to be all around you, an atmosphere, and that's a part that we want to focus on when we look deeper into the working of miracles and how it operates. Because by understanding what it is which we are trying to define, the working of miracles, then we know what we are talking about, where it works. And you can see that all the time you will function in your exousia, iskus, and kratos. And that's the spirit will, then the dunamis power charges the whole atmosphere that is there. A very good example of that is in Jesus' raising of Jairus' daughter. And you find that at that time there was like an anointing upon him. And then when he came to Jairus' house in the book of Mark chapter 5, Gospel of Mark chapter 5, verse 22. Behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he asked Jesus to heal his daughter. And Jesus went with him in verse 24. And just to create the atmosphere in Mark chapter 5, as Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter, a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, had spent all that she had and was no better but rather grew worse, when she heard about Jesus, she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. If only I would touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And the moment she touched him, just his garments, see, it was all around him, just his garments, she was healed instantly. And that is a tremendous miracle because she has been having the ailment for 12 years. She has had the best medical help and it didn't help. She got worse, in fact. Probably at a desperation point. What do you do when the doctors say, "We can't do anything else, there's no more cure"? She turned to Jesus. And in one split second, that's the thing about the working of miracles. In one split second, what all the physicians could not do in 12 years was healed instantly. So something powerful has gone through. If her sicknesses were caused by germs and virus, the germs and virus would have shriveled up and died. If her sickness would have been caused by some organic defect, it would have been completely removed and made whole. If her sickness were made from, were caused by some chemical imbalances, all the chemicals would have been restored and all the bodily organs functioning, producing all those chemicals necessary. Whatever it was, if there's a molecular change necessary, it was done in one split second. That's how powerful this gift is. This gift, remember, this gift doesn't take long. And that is why if you're praying for people under this gift, and when there's an evangelistic anointing, and when we're missing an evangelistic anointing, it's different from normal praying, laying hands or anointing we're all in church. So if we are functioning in a convention, and you have hundreds or thousands of people you pray for, you don't function the same way that you do normally in the church, where as a pastor to the sheep, you love them, you hear their needs, and you pray specifically for them, and you anoint them with oil, help them to exercise their faith. Because in the church, we all need to exercise our faith, because that's the place where you learn to grow, to overcome. You don't depend on one person's prayer, but each one learn to exercise their faith. And what the minister does is undergird your faith. But in the evangelist campaign, the ministry is different. When the power is there, you must transmit it within split seconds. The difference between it working is a matter of split seconds. How long can you hold electricity? It's almost like a lightning flash. And so the laws that are involved in working with the gift of working miracles are totally different from the laws that work the gifts of healing or the normal prayer for healing. And we need to take note of that. And so in this Jairus' daughter's case, there was this atmosphere, and in a split second, it was done. We will continue on to the story in the next section and see what happens when you reach Jairus' house. Praise God. Let's